Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, it is time for Fast Track. And John, one side of the coin, my mock draft five is absolute money. Take it to the back. Take it to the bank. On the other side of the coin, I screwed it up. Call it in the air.
I think you were right the first time. Take it to the back and throw it away. You will finish dead last in the mock draft competition.
Tails, you screwed up.
I screwed it up. Damn. I thought I really had this one figured out. All right, Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, so I was reading an article the other day about how various shoe companies have blown endorsement deals over the years. In the 80s, Fila had John McEnroe when they misspelled his name on a racket, and he left, ending up at Nike. Nike once made a pitch to Steph Curry, but forgot to change the name in a slide presentation and messed it up.
Wow.
He ended up going to Under Armour. So here's my question. Pretend you own a huge sports apparel company like Nike,
yep,
Adidas, Under Armour. You get to pick one athlete to endorse your stuff, but you only get one, and you get the first pick. Any athlete, any sport, but you only get one guy or girl. You can take Tiger, Mike Trout, LeBron, anybody. Who are you going with?
An apparel company with.
Correct.
Even though he's at the very tail end of his career, because I think he could have a legacy beyond his current career, I'm going to say LeBron.
All right, Lindsay, what do you think?
I would disagree that he's at the tail end of his career.
Well, I mean, near the end of his career. He's in his 30s. He's not a guy you're going to have active for 20 years.
I would probably, like right now, I don't know, it's tough. I would, my initial thought is Tiger Woods, because golf is expensive.
Right.
Golf apparel is expensive.
Not a bad choice.
And, you know, he could golf for however long, however many more years. So I guess that's probably what I'd go with, is Tiger.
Tiger Funch, who are you taking?
I think I'm taking Zion. He's the next big star.
Oh, that's a good call.
The next big star.
The name, I think LeBron is an excellent choice, because LeBron is a brand. He's more than an athlete. But, May, since you already took LeBron, I think LeBron's the right answer. But I was thinking, because he's incredibly marketable and he's only 24, I think I would consider Patrick Mahomes. I think he's got a funny voice. He's good in the commercials. He's already in now. I think you could do a Tom Brady kind of existence with Patrick Mahomes. He's the number one. He passed Brady this week for number one in NFL jersey sales. I think I would consider him. But there's not a wrong answer to that question. Like, if you could take seven or eight people and still come out way ahead on that deal. I don't necessarily think I would take Trout, because he's not really he's a great player, but he's not really a star. He doesn't do a lot of deals or endorsements or stuff like that.
Yep.
And he's the best baseball player. So if you're not going to take LeBron, I think I would lean towards Mahomes. Funch?
Fast Track.
All right, let's see here. Let's do this. So I got a little baseball. We've been talking some baseball today. I got a list of the top five active players in wins above replacement. Top five active players in wins above replacement. Three strikes and you're out. Who are they?
All right.
In other words,
Lindsay, one has
wins above replacement.
One has to be Mike Trout, correct? There's no way that one of them isn't Trout.
Mike Trout, number two.
Number two. Wow.
Career so wins above replacement.
All right. Point of clarification. Can any of these be pitchers? Are any of them pitchers?
Pitchers do get wins above replacement, yes.
I'm thinking,
I feel like Verlander has to be one of them, because he's been so good.
I don't know. It's career you're looking for, right, Mace?
Yes, career.
Lindsay, how about this? I know he's been awful since he got traded to the Angels. But wasn't Albert Pujols so far above and beyond everyone else when he was in St. Louis? He had, like, the greatest WAR numbers ever. You don't think so?
If it's career, no, because his numbers over the past, like, 3 years would have brought him down a lot.
But remember, it's cumulative. It keeps going. Your numbers never go down. It's cumulative. Your numbers keep adding up.
So
I thought it was average.
No.
It's just it.
How many wins are you responsible for?
Over the years.
Over the years.
In that case, then you probably are right.
Albert Pujols, number one. There you go.
Oh, okay. All right.
I thought it was average. So then that takes away Verlander.
You think that it? Wow. So would one of them be a pitcher?
I will tell you there are two pitchers on the list.
Okay, so the other two are pitchers.
Yep.
So let's guess Verlander. Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander, number three, yes. There's a pitcher and a hitter remaining.
Okay. A pitcher and a hitter
remaining. Trying to think of pitchers. Maybe like Felix?
I will tell you that the pitcher is a former Dodger.
Okay, I just thought of this. Right when you said it, it confirmed it. Think about Zach Greinke, Lindsay. Early in his career, he was great in Kansas City. He was great in Milwaukee. He was great with the Dodgers. He's now great in Arizona in terms of wins. I think it has to. If you would have said current Dodger, I would have guessed Kershaw. But since he said former, I think it has to be Verlander. Do you agree? I'm sorry, Greinke.
Yeah, he's probably up there.
All right, Greinke.
Greinke is number four. Yes, you're remaining only one guy left.
All right,
he is a hitter.
Do we have any strikes left?
No, you've got all your strikes.
What about like Miggy?
I think that's a great answer. Oh, unless it's like, what about like Robbie Cano? Would he be more than Cabrera? Is Cabrera still playing?
Yeah, he's still playing.
If he's still playing, it's got to be Cabrera.
Yeah,
Cabrera. We'll go Cabrera.
Cabrera it is. You go five for five.
He's one of my favorites. Even though he always played against the Indians and I hated him as a Tiger, like he's so good.
Okay,
can
I say something embarrassing? I thought Cabrera was out of the league.
Oh yeah.
He might as well have been. He's been injured and he hasn't played well the past 2 years. He's been cut
off. Is he still in Detroit?
Yeah. He signed like a 10-year deal there.
By the way, you were on the right track. Robbie Cano is number six. Clayton Kershaw, number seven. Joey Votto, number eight.
Votto would have been like my next guess.
Scherzer, number nine. And Cole Hamels, who's been around for a long time, is number 10.
Yeah, wow.
Fun.
Where's CC on that track?
I didn't go that far.
He's not active.
Yeah, he's not active. You're right.
He's not active.
Okay, Mace. A group of three anonymous drivers took advantage of the open highways and drove an Audi A8 from New York City to Redondo Beach in an amazing 26 hours at the beginning of last week. But not everybody is impressed. Alex Roy, the host of the No Parking podcast and the 2006 Transcontinental record holder, says the latest run, reported to have taken place on April 4th, but only revealed in recent days, was irresponsible given the intent of stay-at-home orders across the country. Here's what Alex Roy said, quote, "Any other time, if one arrives safely, no harm, no foul, in theory. Morally questionable, for sure. A run now brings with it the unknown. Did I touch a fuel pump? Did I transmit the virus? Did I contribute to the problem in an immeasurable way? Once you enter into the zone of doing such a thing today, one can never know if you can say no harm, no foul." End quote. So here's my question. What term better describes this cannonball 26-hour run? Impressive and fun or reckless and stupid?
God, the roads are so friggin' empty. But it is kind of right. I'm going to say ambitious and fun.
Impressive and fun. Yeah. Lindsay, what do you think? Impressive and fun or reckless and stupid?
Well, I think as long as nobody got hurt, it's impressive and fun.
Fun?
Somebody got hurt. It's not impressive.
Impressive and fun. Sounds very fun to me.
Well, here's the problem, though, to back up this guy, Alex Roy. Lindsay, we don't know if anyone got hurt because if they did grab a gas pump and, you know, it stays on metal for 48 to 72 hours, the virus. So if they grabbed a gas pump and then you and I were the next people to go into the gas station, maybe they did transmit the virus.
I don't know anybody who's going to the gas station, though, and not immediately hand sanitizing or Purell wiping right afterwards. I don't know about
I
you
actually
guys,
have
I
only filled up my gas tank once during this whole quarantine, and I wore gloves. Maybe overly cautious, but I wore gloves.
Yeah, I think I did, too, now that I think of it.
I think it makes sense. By the way, gas prices are just ridiculous right
now.
Oh,
I saw something under a dollar somewhere in the United States. Under a dollar. Can you believe that? I mean, I'm sure it's not that way in California, but I mean, for it anywhere to be under a dollar is insane.
It's like $1.09 in Ohio.
$1.09. Can you imagine? What?
But nobody has anywhere to go.
Yeah, but I mean, the prices are based on demand and always have been.
And, of course, no demand.
Yeah, let me look up what they are right now in Los Angeles. It was the last time I paid attention to it, they were like $4. And so I just Googled gas prices in Los Angeles right now. It's still up there.
How much?
$3.60. $3.60.
Still cheap. Average. But, yeah, gas is always going to be more expensive.
I filled up for
$2.49. $2.49.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some. Oh, when you go to lowest, that's average was $3.60. You go to lowest, La Brea, you can go fill up for $2.27.
Wow. That's crazy. All right. Coming up next for you, Lindsay's got a question. Funch has got a question. Fast Track, 5 o'clock, rolls on, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with 5 o'clock, Fast Track, and Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, big news today has an official Whitney Houston biopic is in the making. The Hollywood Reporter broke the news that the Houston estate has agreed to produce the film with her longtime producer, Clive Davis. Now, the film's working title is I Want to Dance with Somebody. Also joining the project is screenwriter Anthony McCartin, who wrote the Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow.
Now, very excited that it's coming out, as most of us really don't know what went on with Whitney from the early 2000s up to her death. Now, who is another singer, athlete, or celebrity you would like to see a biopic based on her life?
Well, the one that has to be coming at some point is something on the Beatles. Maybe they're waiting for McCartney and Harrison to pass, but the Beatles are the biggest band ever, right? I mean, at some point, somebody has to do a biopic.
I mean, you could
just do
one on John Lennon or just Paul McCartney.
Right. But I would think that's the one. I mean, they're doing Elvis is already in the works. They've already casted it and they were starting to shoot it.
I think in Australia.
Yeah, when the coronavirus broke out. So Elvis is the one that's coming next. But the Beatles, I think, would be at least the biggest target that they could hit. There are more Beatles fans than pretty much anybody. Can you think of an athlete, a famous person, bigger than the Beatles?
No. The weird thing is there hasn't been a definitive Beatles biopic, but there have been. There was one about John and Yoko. There was one about John Lennon called Nowhere Boy. So they've nibbled around it. The one I'm really excited about is Martin Scorsese is doing a biopic of Frank Sinatra with Leo DiCaprio as Frank Sinatra, and apparently he's been getting ready for this for years.
I've seen every Rat Pack movie, miniseries, document. Tina Sinatra did one in the 80s about her dad that was based on the Kitty Kelly book, and then HBO did the Rat Pack where, Cheadle was in that.
That was great.
Ray Liotta
was
in that.
Ray Liotta played Sinatra in that one, yeah.
Yeah. The interesting thing about Whitney Houston will be, have you guys watched the Whitney Houston documentary?
Yes, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
All right.
It's so good.
So, Lindsay, do they address her sexuality in the documentary? Honestly?
I don't think, honestly, they kind of like dance around it a little bit.
So will the biopic dance around it? That's the
question.
Well,
if it's called I Want to Dance with Somebody.
But, you know, that's one thing. I mean, there were some people that felt like they didn't, in the case of the Queen biopic, that they didn't deal with Freddie Mercury's sexuality, honestly. I thought they did.
I thought they did.
Mace, what'd you think? Were you happy with the way they depicted his sexuality in Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I thought they did a fair time. You know, I don't know much about his sexual history, so I know that he swung both ways. I don't know exactly which side got more at bats. So it's hard for me to say. But I thought they dealt with it to some degree, honestly. It felt real to me.
Major part of Rocket Man. I mean, it was at the heart of Rocket Man how his mom kind of disowned him over it. I thought they did a good job of doing an honest depiction of Elton John in that movie. With Whitney, I'll give you guys an example. Like Funch, you mentioned what sports person would do it. For years, people have been trying to make a movie about John Wooden because he's, the greatest coach. But I'm trying to remember who has the rights. It may be our buddy Mike Warren, who listens to the show a lot. I think Mike may have controlled the rights.
You're right.
But the people that have had the rights over the years have always insisted that it has to be G or PG. Like, they're not going in. You're not putting Sam Gilbert in it. You're not putting any of the...
Yeah, I mean, without Sam Gilbert, it's not an honest biopic.
Right, so it's never been done. Like,
I'll tell you who would be good, John. What about Ronald Reagan?
That's fascinating.
That would be a really interesting one, because he started out as an actor,
Prince would be a good one, but the thing with Prince isn't Purple Rain kind of the movie of Prince's life?
Yeah.
Like, if you do a biopic on Prince...
But you're not getting into his drug years.
Yeah. It's totally different with the end of it, because that was, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
A lot has happened since then.
But you think about it, Jimmy Jam said that when he went to grade school and high school with Prince, and Jimmy listens to the show, and Jimmy said if you would start Prince's life story, you'd have to start it that he was legitimately a prodigy. Like, he could play every instrument when he was 10 or 12 years old. I mean, so that's where you could start it. Similar to where they started Rocket Man when Elton John was Reginald Dwight and he was a kid.
I would love to see a Marvin Gaye biopic.
That'd be great.
My buddy Kevin Reese just texted me while we were talking about this, the sports photographer, that Marvin Gaye would be a good one.
Yeah. There's an Aretha Franklin one coming out this summer. It stars the actress who played Harriet Tubman this last year in that movie Harriet, who was nominated for an Oscar. That's a great one. Aretha Franklin's a great one.
Yeah, there's now that they've nailed some of these biopics. Like, I really liked Bohemian Rhapsody and really liked Rocket Man. I like both of them.
Both. I thought both were great.
And they're completely two different tacks. I mean, like, in Bohemian Rhapsody, Rami Malek, who didn't he win an Oscar for playing Freddie Mercury?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he lip-synced. They used Freddie's actual voice. And Taron Egerton, the guy who played Elton John, even though Elton John's still alive and they completely could have used his voice, when I heard that Egerton was going to sing, I thought, well, wow, they blew that. You could have used Elton John's actual voice. And then I went and saw the movie and loved it. So there's a lot of, like, with Whitney, the Whitney biopic, you almost have to lip sync that, right? Because it'd be impossible to copy her voice.
Yeah, it's always more impressive when they sing them, though. Like Sissy Spacek, Coal Miner's Daughter, she sang that part. Taron Egerton sang the Elton John part.
Like, I don't know. I haven't read up on the Scorsese project with Sinatra, but I got to imagine you're using Frank's voice and Leo's going to lip sync it.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past
Sinatra's
them.
Nickname was The Voice.
I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him. I have no idea. But
boy, that's a
put
fascinating decision, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. To be able to try to pull it off.
Like, one of the things about Les Miserables, I'm trying to remember who directed it, and I don't, but he insisted on everybody singing, the actors singing their own parts. And Russell Crowe is a terrible singer.
Just awful. He's just awful.
And it just...
Everybody else was great. Everybody else
Anne
sang
Hathaway
great.
Killed it.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman was great. One more day, another destiny.
Right,
this never-ending road to Calvary. These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time, one day more.
Was it Jobert, the name of Russell Crowe's character? And yeah, he was awful.
Yeah.
And so that's a very tough decision when you're doing a musical biopic. What about in sports? Okay, so We know what the hang up on John Wooden is. Is there somebody else in sport? The OJ's been done. Obviously.
It's got to be somebody complicated, right? That's what you want.
Right.
You want somebody complicated. Like Mike Tyson would be complicated.
Pete Rose, would that work? I know ESPN did a, remember they used to make movies and they did a Pete Rose movie starring Dash Meat Hook.
Dash Meat Hook, yeah.
We tried to get that guy in the air for like 2 years and
yeah,
we couldn't get
yeah.
it. But it didn't really work. Bobby Knight, ESPN tried to do a fictional movie on Bobby Knight. That might be a good one if you had a good script and a good director.
Lance Armstrong might be an interesting one.
Yeah, if you told the unvarnished truth.
Tiger might be an interesting one.
Yeah, all these have been tried.
It's the guys that are the most complicated, I think, that are the most interesting. But there's also the toughest ones to pull off. And the ones that it's easiest to go off the rails.
Yeah, interesting. Good question, though, Funch.
Yeah, good one, Funch.
Fast track.
Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, I don't know if I could top that. That was quite a good combo there. But, you know, yesterday we talked about, you know, branding and what Bud Light is doing surrounding the booze with Roger Goodell and the NFL draft. And I saw this other thing going around social media where a restaurant chain, Olive Garden, they're helping out high school seniors whose proms were canceled because of COVID-19, and they're offering to simulate their experience with photo manipulation. According to UPI, and from everything I've seen on social media, Olive Garden is having seniors upload photos of themselves and their dates or friends in prom attire and then send them to the restaurant's Instagram and Twitter accounts. And then they will edit the photos together with like Olive Garden themed backgrounds, I guess, to like, and they're simulating the prom photo experience. You know, when you go to prom and it's like, you got like the cheesy, like hand around your date's waist picture.
Cheesy, yeah. No pun intended when you're talking about Olive Garden.
Yes, exactly. And it's funny you say that because some of the backgrounds have like funny Olive Garden themed slogans like breadstick bay, most saucy, Prince of Parmesan, like all these stupid things. So, I mean, I guess I wanted to ask you guys, would you guys let me take photos of you and upload these to the Olive Garden Instagram so we can make fake prom pictures? And B, is this something where it's kind of like, this is more of like a slap in the face to these people? Like, they don't get a prom. Let's not.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Is this not
this
making a bad situation
off?
Worse?
Yes, like, that's kind of what I think. I'm torn.
Yeah, I think I understand Olive Garden trying to do something nice during the quarantine. If I was a high school senior, I would pass. Mace, how about you?
I would also pass. And I'll tell you, of all the restaurants that I would want to take my prom date to, with all due respect, you know, endless salad and breadsticks doesn't necessarily say prom to me.
It's kind of like using a coupon on a date, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like that's not my – and Olive Garden, I'm sure, a totally respectable organization, and they make I've never liked their food. My mom loves their endless salad and breadsticks.
Jack Ireland, my son, big fan of the Olive Garden.
Yeah, never been my thing. Doesn't seem like authentic Italian food to me. But, yeah, if you're going on a prom date, probably Olive Garden is not your first choice.
Well, I also wanted to say that I noticed a lot of people on Facebook, myself included, started doing this senior picture thing where it's like, in honor of the 2020 seniors, post a picture from your senior year and when you graduated so we can show support for the seniors. And I posted mine, and then somebody had a really good point. They said, don't you think that's kind of like nagging at them and kind of making them feel worse? Like, how is that supporting them by showing your senior picture and saying, hey, guess what? You don't get a graduation, but here's what mine looked like. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I do a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do agree with that.
All right, maybe I should just take mine down then.
Yeah, well, no, if you're having fun with it, more power to you. But I think...
Could you find your prom picture, John?
I don't think so, but I'll look.
See if you can find it. That would be cool. Lindsay, can you find your prom picture?
Oh, yeah, I've got mine.
Yeah, let's... What about you, Funch? Oh, Funch, you go to the prom.
Mace,
go.
If I find it, I'm pretty sure I will be in a light blue ruffled tux.
What?
I think
like
I will
and
be
style?
In a white tux with tails.
Lindsay, it was before Dumb and Dumber. I was Dumb and Dumb before Dumb and Dumber even existed.
That's awesome.
I will look for it. I don't know where it would be, but I will look for it.
All right. Well, yeah. More Fast Track coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and Funch, it's to me.
Fast Track.
Two Australian doctors weighing in about the spread of the coronavirus and whether it can be spread through flatulence. During Friday's episode of the Australian CoronaCast podcast, host Dr. Norman Swan made a cautionary suggestion when it comes to a fart and the spread of COVID-19. He says, quote, luckily, we wear a mask, which covers our gas all the time, pants, shorts, underwear. But to be safe, you shouldn't pass gas when you're close to other people, and you shouldn't fart with your bottom bare. This could redefine the term silent but deadly. Had it ever occurred to you that we could pass the virus by farting, and will you take an additional precaution because of the research about farts and COVID-19?
To answer your first question first, no, it never occurred to me. But I have an observation, and tell me if you agree. If you got to go, you got to go, kind of, right? It's like, it's not like you can control always. I mean, sometimes you can, but it's
wait
like
a minute. Of course you can control it.
No.
Yes, you can.
Always? How long can you control it
when
for?
When you were dating Lisa, tell me, I mean, at some point, right, it was standard issue that you both farted. But at the beginning,
yeah,
nobody farts.
Kept it from her as long as possible.
Until a certain point. So you were able to hold it back until you were comfortable enough with Lisa to be able to do it.
Well, like think of it this way. If you're on a plane, okay, you don't want to get up. You don't want to go to the back. Let's have an honest discussion about
flatulence. Okay, honest fart discussion, yes.
You want to control the sound, but you can't completely suppress the act honest.
You're right. You can release it into the seat of a plane.
Correct. And if you do, according to your Australian doctors, you're putting others at risk.
You are. You're putting others at risk.
So
it's dangerous. Farting is dangerous.
Yeah, let me answer your question this way. I'll do what I can. You know, I'll try hard not to do it. But I would like to think I always do what I can, you know?
You know, it's funny. I'm assuming that you now have the relationship with Lisa where you fart in front of each other, right?
Like I was going to say, not intentionally, but sure.
Because I never did with Juan ever, under any circumstance, and neither did he. And one day he did, and from that point on, it was off to the races. Didn't matter where. Yeah. Once it happens once,
okay,
it's all over.
Right. And you know, if I do it now, you know the very first thing I say.
What?
Reagan. Blame the dog.
Blame the dog. There you go.
Reagan, that's terrible. What are you doing?
pissed off that I told that.
No, I would be too. I was going to think, did you have clearance to tell that?
I don't know. His
no pun intended.
Associated
clearance.
With it, so, yeah, clearance.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. Chippendales has been part of the Las Vegas entertainment landscape for nearly 20 years.
Sure.
Now, while its headquarters at the Rio Hotel and all other casino showrooms are shut down, the male strippers are coming to your house. If you like, Chippendales at Home is a new online experience that allows viewers to hang out and party with the men of Chippendales to, quote, chat, flirt, play games, or get or give a virtual lap dance. Each 30-minute party will feature at least two cast members and will be hosted on streaming platforms such as Zoom, House Party, FaceTime, or Google Hangout. Do you think this will work? Chippendales is normally a big hit for bachelorette parties, and in 2020, I guess we should include bachelor parties for gay couples. But the thing is, it's always been that you get to see these guys in person. Will Chippendales online be a hit or a miss?
Total miss. Total miss.
Yeah, I tend
that
to agree.
That defeats the whole purpose of it, right? I mean, the idea is, now I've never been to a show like this. I've been to strip bars. Virtual strip bars wouldn't work, would they?
No, I don't think so. Lindsay, are you, I don't know when the last time you went to a bachelorette party is, but would virtual Chippendales work?
No, I think like half of the fun and allure and whatever of going to those things. Now, I've honestly never been to anything like that. I've never been to like a male review, but I think a lot of it is the fact that you're in this like dark lit place with like your girlfriends doing this thing that you're not like really supposed to be doing. It's kind of naughty. And like to bring it into your own house, I just don't see that working, because I feel like if people wanted that type of interaction, like they could just watch porn, you know?
Plus, yeah, that's the thing. Why not just watch porn? What is the Chippendales thing about if you can just watch porn?
I guess if like you said, they're looking for the interaction part where it's like you're flirting with them and talking with them. But like to me, I'd imagine with it being a big brand like Chippendales, it probably costs a decent amount of money. And you could find people on those creepy websites that you can find people to chat with for a lot less money, I'm sure.
Right. I understand why they're doing it. I think they're trying to, you know, be creative in this time of the coronavirus. But I don't think this is going to fly. I don't. Funches, do you think Chippendales online is going to work?
No. Like Lindsay said, you know, just go look at porn.
Yeah, that's a one-sentence answer to why this won't work, actually.
Like Lindsay said, just go look at porn.
I think a lot of it is, like, you know, the intimacy of that whole experience, and then to bring it, like, you're bringing it into your own home on both ends, too, you know, because what are these guys going to be at the club? They're probably going to be, you know, at their homes and whatever, and I just feel like there's probably something about the interaction on both sides that just makes it like wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, so we're all in agreement. Not going to work. Okay.
Nation, you want one more?
Yeah, let's do one more. I've got a game, and this was suggested yesterday on voicemail that we toughen up, name that tune, and we actually use the name of the song. So this
is tough. You're looking for the name of the song.
The name of the song. Okay.
Okay.
So it's Lindsay versus John. Here is song number one.
Lindsay. It's Bad Guy.
Bad Guy, correct. Good
now,
job,
see,
Lindsay.
I didn't know that, but I knew that was Billie Eilish.
Correct, exactly. This is what makes it tough now.
Okay.
All right, so it's Lindsay up 1-0. Here is song number two.
Lindsay. Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
Rolling in the Deep, 2-0 for Lindsay. Easier than you thought, John.
No.
You knew that one, right?
I knew that one, yeah. I don't know. It's throwing me for a loop doing it this way. Let's try again.
Okay, here is song number three.
John.
Lindsay.
John.
Norwegian Wood.
Norwegian Wood, yes. It is 2-1. You knew that one, Lindsay?
Yes.
Good job. All right, so it's 2-1. Here is song number four.
Lindsay.
John.
Lindsay got there first.
That would be...
Need an answer.
John.
John, you go.
Single Ladies.
All the Single Ladies.
That's
exactly
what I thought it was, but I wasn't going to say that because you played a weird part of it. Yeah.
So that means it's all coming down to this.
2-2. It all comes down. Make sure you listen deep into this cut.
Okay.
Mystery song number five.
Lindsay. That would be, I know it's Taylor Swift. It's called.
I'm going to need an answer.
No.
3-2-1. No, Ireland, you get to listen into the cut. Listen carefully.
I know the name of it.
It's John's Play. Stay with it, John.
Okay.
Almost there. Oh, this is longer than I thought it was going to be.
Okay, he doesn't know it.
Wait a minute. I'll take a shot.
Okay, take a shot.
I think this was that huge hit she had that was Blank Space.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. John Ireland with the win on a Taylor Swift song.
Well, Lindsay
no
has.
Less.
I was going to say Blank Check, and I knew that wasn't what it was.
Blank Check.
I couldn't get the word space out of it.
So maybe
by the way, Mace, that is harder.
Much harder. Much harder. But you guys got all of them. 3-2. Dramatic finish.
That is harder.
Ireland with the win on a Taylor Swift song. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you. Mace and Ireland, 710 ESPN. right, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Okay, I got a game with the NFL draft coming tomorrow. Some team will inevitably take somebody that we've never heard of.
Yes.
So here's the game. Everybody on this list is either a former NFL player.
Yep.
Somebody who was in the draft. Or a movie character. Okay? So somebody who once played in the NFL or the name of a character from a movie. Let's see how you guys do. All right? First name. Swayze Waters. Swayze Waters. Lindsay, is that a character in a movie or an NFL draft pick?
I'm going to guess it's a character in a movie.
Okay. Funch.
NFL draft pick.
Mace. Swayze Waters.
NFL draft pick.
Mason and Funches get the point. Swayze Waters was an NFL kicker with the Detroit Lions.
Great right. name.
Next name, Cap Boso. B-O-S-O. Cap Boso, Funch. Movie or NFL draft pick?
That sounds like a movie character.
Okay. Mace, Cap Boso.
I am going to say that is a movie character.
Lindsay.
I'm going to guess movie character, too.
All three of you incorrect. Cap Boso was a tight end for the Bears. Okay. Next name. Cleveland Heap. Cleveland Heap. H-E-E-P. Mace, NFL draft pick or movie character?
Sounds like a movie character.
Lindsay.
Sounds familiar, but I can't remember which one of the two it would be familiar from. So
take a
I'm gonna guess draft pick.
Okay, break the tie, Funch.
Movie character.
Funches and Mason get the point. That was Paul Giamatti's character in the movie Lady in the Water.
Okay,
Cleveland
anyway.
Heap. Okay, next name. Lindsay, back to you. Atari Bigby. Atari Bigby.
I'm going to guess draft pick.
Okay, Funch.
Draft pick.
Mace.
Sounds like a draft pick to me.
All three of you, correct. He was the NFL's Defensive Player of the Month for the Packers in 2007. Three for Funches, three for Mason, one for Lindsay. Funch, Weatherby Swan. Weatherby Swan, Funches.
Movie character.
You're going movies. Mace, Weatherby Swan.
That sounds like a movie character.
All right, Lindsay?
Oh, it's definitely a movie character.
Do you know where it's from, Lindsay?
Isn't it from Pirates?
Correct. From Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm not sure. I think that might have been Jeffrey Rush's character in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, because isn't the girl's name is Swan, right?
Yeah, so Weatherby Swan is from Pirates. You're right. Okay. Funch, back to you. Bakari Rambo. Bakari Rambo. Is he an NFL draft pick or a movie character?
That sounds like a draft pick right there.
Okay. Mace.
It's a great name.
Bakari Rambo.
I'm going to say that is a movie character.
All right. Lindsay, break the tie.
Movie character.
Funch is the only one that gets it. Bakari Rambo is a current safety for the Washington Redskins.
Bakari's a weird name.
Yeah, and he spells it with two R's. All right, five for Funches, four for Mason, two for Lindsay, three names left. Mace, back to you. Silken Floss. Silken Floss. Mace, is that a NFL draft pick or a movie character?
Sounds like a movie character to me.
Okay. Lindsay, movie character, NFL draft pick. Silken Floss.
I'll go with Mace and say movie character.
All right, Funch?
Movie character.
All three of you correct. Funch, do you know who it is?
No.
Scarlett Johansson in the movie The Spirit. Her name is Silken Floss. Okay. There are two names left. Six for Funches, five for Mason, three for Lindsay. Cypher Rage. Cypher Rage. Mace, this one's yours. Movie character or NFL draft pick?
That's got to be some kind of movie villain.
Okay, Cypher Rage. Lindsay?
Draft pick.
Funch, break the tie.
Draft pick.
Mason gets it. That was the name of Will Smith's character in the movie After Earth, I think, which was a really bad movie, wasn't it, Mace?
It was a terrible, terrible movie.
Oh, I mean, it's not Battlefield Earth was the Travolta movie that was unwatchable.
But this is a terrible, terrible movie also.
I've never even heard of that movie, and I love Will Smith.
Is that the movie with his son?
I think so. After Earth. I don't know. We'll look it up later. Mason 6. Funches 6. Lindsay 3. But this happens to be worth 4 points. And Funch, you need to go first. Mr. Alexander. Mr. Alexander Funch, movie character or NFL draft pick?
NFL draft pick.
All right, Mace.
NFL draft pick.
Lindsay.
Well, the only way that I can win is to guess the opposite, even though I feel like I've heard this before. I'm going to say movie character.
Yeah, you were boxed in, Lindsay. No chance to win. It's a tie between Mason and Funchess. Mr. Alexander is a former linebacker for the Houston Texans.
That's an awesome name.
His first name is M-I-S-T-E-R, Mr. Mr. Alexander. And Funchess and Mason tie for the title.
By the way, After Earth was an M. Night Shyamalan movie starring Will Smith and his kid, 11% on the tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes. It was
an awful
movie. Yeah,
that's
11%.
Terrible. Wow.
Yep, all right. It was awful.
Okay, so do you want to break and call this guy or call this guy now? We found the guy who did the Beverly Hillbillies thing.
Let's call him now.
Yeah, let's call him now.
All right, first of all, Funch, you can't do both at the same time. Go ahead and call him. We'll fill for a minute and tell us when you got him. And then we're going to play his voicemail. Now, we've set up this voicemail line, and Mason challenged the audience today to come up with jingles, songs, little hook songs that we can play coming in and out of commercials. The voicemail line is 530-ESPN-710. 530-377-6710. And most people misinterpreted what Mason wanted. He wanted actual jingles, something with a musical element. Some people may sent slogans in.
Slogans, yeah, we don't need slogans.
Right, what we want are like musical elements. So one guy sent in a very funny Beverly Hillbillies theme kind of jingle. Funch, what's our status?
He didn't pick up yet.
Okay, so play his...
Yeah, play his jingle.
Play his jingle, and we'll see if we can find him after the break. But here was his jingle.
Hey, Mason, Ireland, Lindsay, I got the opening for your show. Check it. Come and listen to a story about a man named Steve. Poor Ohio boy left his mother there to freeze. Then one day, just as he was breaking wind, and in through the door walked a man named Ireland. Don, that is. Silver spoon, one percenter. Well, the next thing you know, old Steve and John were paired, and they found an imbecile who would put them on the air. Said, California is the place you will begin, so they loaded up their gear and they moved to 17. Radio, that is. ESPN. The Mason and Ireland Show. Some mighty fine banjo playing. This has been an Art Star presentation.
I think he said Art Star at
the
end.
Yeah, an Art Star presentation.
Funch, what's his name? You got him.
I got him on the line.
Okay, put him on. Hey, man, what's your name?
It's Art. Art Star.
Art Star, you were great, man. That's exactly what we were looking for. How long did it take you to come up with that?
Oh, honestly, you guys, like when you guys first said you wanted something like jingles like that, so I was already off of work, so I was inside a parking lot of a Walgreens, believe it or not, and I just started thinking of, you know, what kind of subject to put together. So I started thinking, you know, a guy from Ohio, guy from La La Land, bam, and it hit me just like that, Beverly Hillbillies. So then I just had to put some words together, so I just started thinking, you know, about Steve from Ohio, blah, 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 and it just all came together.
My favorite part of it was he needed a three-syllable word to describe somebody who put us on the air, and he came up with imbecile.
Yes, imbecile is perfect. And he also rhymed breaking wind with Ireland.
Yeah, which was great.
Right there.
Hey, Art, we are going to wear that thing out, man. If you think of any more like that, send them in. We wanted to say thank you. That is exactly what we were looking for.
Hey, you know what? By the way, John, real quick, you know that the cut you guys play of somebody berating you for picking Sliwa five times in a row? That was me.
Oh, good, because you made an excellent point.
Mason, believe it or not, I was sitting next to you, directly to your left, on the last poker invitation at the Converse Casino.
Did you last? Who lasted longer, Art?
Oh, he busted out before me.
Yeah, I busted out fast in that tournament.
Yeah, he had to get that gift card to seat number two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because Mason and I bet $5,000 in mythical money on who would last longer, and I beat him.
I had a very bad beat, Art. I don't know if you remember that. Very bad beat.
I
went out on pocket.
I remember. You did. You did, Steve.
Yep.
All right, hey, thank you, Art. Great
thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, Art.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I busted out of that tournament. I pocket king somebody who was sitting on pocket aces.
By the way, you completely ignored my invitation to the poker game. Your name has been removed from our potential list.
Oh, something came up family-wise.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me.
Oh, you're right. I didn't.
All right, but anyway, you may work your way back up to the alternate list.
How did it go?
Right now, you're at the bottom. I went from winning the week before to coming in dead last.
How many players do you have?
We had eight.
You had eight players?
Yeah.
Well, if I would have known you had eight players, you told me it was just a few players. I didn't realize it was going to be eight players.
And now
it's like a full table.
Yeah, now I think this week we've got nine. I think we're going to nine on Saturday.
Wow, impressive. All right, coming up next for you, ladies and gentlemen, it's time.
Fudge goes, oh, no, I forgot.
For Sliwa at sunset. Mason and Ireland, crosstalk with Sliwa next, 710 ESPN. Wow,
how about that
intro
for a big production?
Damn, look at the time they're putting into Chris Morales working his tail off on this intro for Crosstalk. That sounds great. Sliwa, you've become a star.
Wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I mean, you're known. You're a known person.
I'm in the background.
Many people know who you are.
I'm in the background, and if I could be in the background, that's okay. I'm completely
Hey, have you been on the Kamenetsky late night hoedown yet?
You know, not invited yet. Not invited. I think that's it could be a personal thing. I know the Cam brothers. We have beef.
You know what their slogan is. We'll take anybody. So you should definitely go on to the podcast. We'll take anybody.
Right when I'm done with this show, I'll just go right into that show. I'll just keep going. By the way, Mace, who was that guy that put that thing together? The thing you tweeted out, the poster. You put it out on Twitter.
I do not know who did that. The poster is unbelievable.
How freaking good is that?
Yeah, it's that is the actual Chinatown poster.
Yeah, I know, but that's just the funniest thing. The way he put our faces in there and spent some damn time on this. And I love that you told him, "Can you do it?" You wanted it Sliwa after sunset, right?
Right. It's Sliwa. Right now, it's Sliwa after dark. Which at a certain time of year, Sliwa after dark makes sense. But Sliwa at sunset—that is a magnificent poster. I actually own that poster, autographed by Robert Towne, who wrote the screenplay.
Wow.
No face, generally. I don't know how he got our faces to look mostly like our faces.
Oh, it's too good, man. It's too good. And I love his response back to you. You said, hey, can you make this Sliwa at sunset? He's like, yeah, I'm just at work right now. When I'm done, I'll get on it. Like just almost as if, of course, it's on my to-do list. You got it, Mace. Whatever you need.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a beautiful piece of work. You know, I think that's one of the things I was talking to. I did a podcast today with Michael Mando, who plays Nacho Varga on Breaking Bad.
That dude's
Saul.
A great actor.
And he's a great actor.
He's got some scenes with Lalo in the last few episodes of this season that are just unbelievable.
Oh, crazy. And the one thing we were talking about is that people are. While we're all sheltering in place and we're all doing the stuff we're supposed to be doing, if you notice, the memes are better, the GIFs are better. There is so much creativity out there because people have so much time on their hands. And I think when all is said and done, after this terrible thing is over, they're going to be screenplays and books and all kinds of stuff that people will have written, because there's so much creativity that's happening right now. And all you got to do is look at the meet. I sent you the one last night of the little girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was amazing, too. Actually, during the show, I was listening to it. During one of the breaks, I had to, like, turn everything off just to listen to it. Did you guys play that yesterday, too?
Yeah, we did. Do we have that one, Michael?
ESPN 710, Los Angeles.
Sports.
Now, that wasn't what I was asking for, but
that's
I love
the
that.
Yeah,
the little girl asked, how many days have you been quarantined? Do you have that one?
You got to give me a second.
Yeah, we'll give you a second. Yeah, by the way, we think Funch just has everything at his fingertips.
It pretty much he's does. Got, it's, he's, it's been, all, he's been it's, he's been pretty clutch.
He's unbelievably good. Funch has been one of the unsung heroes of this entire quarantine.
And Funch, don't bleep it out either. Let's really get the root of it.
No, we're bleeping it out. We're definitely bleeping it out. That little girl. There's nothing funnier than a little kid cussing. I know. Kids, do not cuss. Please do not.
Well, if you look at her too, Mace, she, like, that's the last little girl that you think that's going to come out of her mouth. That's what she's going to say. So it just throws you off completely. But yeah, I saw that. It was hilarious yesterday.
Hey, Sliwa, have you done a mock draft like everybody else around here?
I have done a mock draft.
How do you feel about it?
You want me just to check in with Mel Kiper again?
Is that where you got it from?
I got a lot of my picks from Mel Kiper.
I actually have spent the last few weeks researching and looking at film. I've looked at a lot of film.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that offensive guard out of Bama?
Offensive guard, I'm telling you what, that guy, big NFL body, really, really mature, scored really well on the Wonderlic, interviewed well. They're really impressed with him.
I don't think I've seen a DB like that guy out of Utah in years. That's just my personal opinion.
Never.
I'm not going to attach a name to who he is because I want people to do their own research, but he's amazing.
You know, I got a note from my mom and my not stepdad Leo.
I got the same note. It is very nice. I just wrote him back.
Yeah, just listened to your interview with John, and have to let you know we were both in tears a couple of instances. I really feel like I'm now a member of the family, especially with John's comments added to your and Juan's. Please let John know that we both appreciate him as a real friend. This was a great show, and the idea of him interviewing you is a great concept. Bring it on. And then at the end he says, this will be the last serious message you will ever hear from me.
At first I thought, is he trying to move out of not stepdad status? This could move him closer to that. But then
he'll always be not stepdad.
Then he finished with that line, and I thought, all is right with the world.
Yep, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So
did you, Mace? Did you get a chance to watch the final episode?
I did. I watched the final
episode. Are you, Alan? Are you caught up?
So freaking good.
I caught up too.
You're caught up. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it sets up a killer season 6. The problem is going to be that all production is shut down. The amount of time between season 4 and season 5 was 18 months, which was, Mace, around the same amount of time between the last 2 seasons of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
But now, I think we have to project out past 18 months because there's no shooting.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to wait for a while. There's no production. By the way, so many people that were that are listening right now work in production. They're on crews. They are actors, work on commercials, voiceover act. Everybody is shut down right now. We are so fortunate to be able to have jobs in this environment. And, it is just devastating what's happening with people and their inability to work right now. It's going to be a while for Better Call Saul. The thing is they left it at such a critical moment, too. I mean, talk about a cliffhanger. That is an absolute cliffhanger. The guy who plays Lalo is fantastic, and the guy I talked to, Michael Mando, is fantastic. And you were right about Kim, who's played by the great Ray Seahorn. She did break bad.
You're right.
She and broke I think really
that's,
bad.
That's going to be the focus of the season six, is how far will Kim go? Because it seems now that Kim has gone so far down the rabbit hole that she can't get out. I think now that she's lost all concept of, she has no moral compass anymore.
None.
And so it's going to be, but it could be a very big season six for our guy Howard too.
Oh yeah.
It looks like he's going to be a big part of things.
He does. He looks like it. He looks like it. Yeah.
Hey, how closely have you guys followed the college admissions scandal and everything that's been going on with that? Are you guys still paying attention to that? You know that Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo, are still pleading not guilty. And there are some legal experts who think they are completely going to get off without any jail time because the guy, Rick Singer, who masterminded this plot, they say, told them that he was doing everything legally. That he was, you know, he was just, they thought they were making a donation to USC, and in return, Rick Singer was getting their girls into school. Well, something in the last half an hour may turn this trial again. Jorge Salcido, who was the UCLA soccer coach, really guys forever, from 2004 to 2019. He was there for 15 years. Agreed today to plead guilty to racketeering charges after maintaining his innocence for more than a year. He has agreed to one count of conspiracy for accepting $200,000 in bribes to facilitate the admissions of two students as fake soccer recruits. So this could swing it back the other way. This could, now that the coaches are admitting they were in on it, I don't know where people who are pleading not guilty have to stand now.
I don't understand why they didn't just plead guilty like everybody else.
They don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, but I mean, Felicity Huffman went to like a country club for 10 days and it was all over. She got released for good behavior after cooking class on the fifth day.
Maybe Lori Loughlin and Massimo feel that they were lied to. That this guy, Rick Singer, took them to the clinic. They thought they were just making a donation to USC and that in return their girls were getting in, which is how private schools often work. But I don't know. I mean, what's going to be fascinating is, like, they took pictures of them rowing on crew machines and sent it in as part of their application, which is perpetuating a fraud. They weren't crew members. But at the same time, if this guy, Rick Singer, told them, look, this is just part of the dance. By making a donation, they got a couple extra spots. We'll get them in that way. Are they guilty of racketeering or fraud or whatever they're being accused of? Is that illegal?
What, John, private school? What do you believe? Do you believe that they knew? Like, I personally think
they knew what was going on. Yeah, but
yeah, I think so too.
I don't know at a private school if you can prove it. Like, private schools have the right to, they're like a restaurant. They have the right to accept or reject anybody. Hmm. It's a private school. So it's different. UCLA and USC are different in this case. USC is allowed to.
They did commit a fraud. What was the deal with the rowing team? Why did they even need to do that? They'd already given so much money to the university. Why did they need to use the rowing crew scam that they used?
It's a good question, and I think it comes up in the trial. But if the coach agrees that he took a bunch of money, like he got a bunch of that money, then I think it makes their story really hard to believe. But I think that what's going to be fascinating is that particular case, Massimo and Lori, is going to go to trial, and that's going to be like fascinating to watch.
Well, I'll tell you what, smart people settle,
because everybody else is settling.
Yeah. But Smart people settle.
They're going to trial. A lot of legal experts, if you want to read about it, you can. Just Google it. It is, a lot of legal experts think that their attorneys, the attorneys for Lori and Massimo, have a really good case and may be able to get them off.
They should call Saul. They should call Saul.
Saul Goodman?
Saul Goodman. Saul Goodman. Hey, by the way, did you ever think, when you watch Breaking Bad, that Saul Goodman was Saul Goodman?
No.
Yeah, neither. I didn't get it.
And by the way, the other thing I'm trying to figure out, How are they going to tie him back to the Cinnabon store?
Yeah, that's the other thing that they've not gone. They didn't go to that for the second half of the season. Because remember, at the Cinnabon store, he got recognized in the mall.
That's right.
So we know down the line in the future, this would be post-Breaking Bad, we know that he has been recognized by somebody outside the Cinnabon in the mall. So that's the other thing that's got to be wrapped up in this next season. They got a lot of loose strings, but you can definitely see how Jimmy McGill became Saul Goodman.
Mace, how does this work? They when they did Breaking Bad, they didn't have any idea they would do Better Call Saul after, right? Like
no,
this, just they had
whatsoever.
Incredible success and.
No, but okay, they thought of all. I think they thought of all the great characters. Like Alan, have you watched Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing.
Like, if you look back on those characters, like the two badass twins, the twin murderers.
That's right.
Those are really good characters. Gustavo Fring, really good character. But you need a central character who you can be sympathetic towards to build it around. In the case of Breaking Bad, it was Walter White. He had real, honest dilemmas. He had a special needs son. He had no money. He had to get treatment for a fatal disease. How far would you go? And he breaks bad. Odenkirk, you can sympathize with him. You want to root for Jimmy McGill.
Because his brother was a jerk to him.
Right. And Jimmy McGill is how far would you go to win? You know, what rules would you break? And now Kim, who's always kind of bent him towards justice, towards morals, is now
she's swinging.
She's gone to the other side now. Mm-hmm. She's going to bend him the other way.
Let's face it, Jimmy's the Houston Astros of lawyers.
Right. I mean,
he'll do whatever it takes. Doesn't matter what rule he twists around, he's going to do it.
Yep.
By the way,
what afraid of cheating a little?
Hey, are you going to do? Are we blowing through this break again like we did yesterday? And you guys are just going to talk until 6:25?
No. Well, why don't we take? Well, you want to take a break? I don't know.
Completely up to you. I we can either break or we can break at like 24 and be done with them.
And just be done with them.
I don't blame you, John.
Let's break now. Then we'll get out at 24, and then we'll be done with them.
Excellent idea.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Fair question.
Boy. What a life. What a life you lead. Glamorous radio star in your little cell in Chinatown.
It's glamorous, man. In one space in my studio, I could see my bed.
Yep.
The kitchen.
Well, Brian Kamenetsky told us, Alan, that he has fewer square feet than you, and he's living with four other people. He's living with his wife and three kids in a 400-square-foot apartment, so it could be worse.
Oh, my gosh. That is L.A. in a nutshell for us.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So Sliwa, we've been watching Better Call Saul, and the finale was on Monday night. I got around to watching it last night. I was really excited about it, and it lived up to expectations. I would say it exceeded expectations. I didn't expect it to be as dramatic or to have a twist as big at the end of it as it did. That was absolutely spectacular.
The fact that we have to wait, and I know I was asking you guys on air or off air, and you guys already talked about it, but the fact that we got to wait, you know, at least a year, year and a half, and that's the scene that we have, that just one scene with Lalo at the end, where he's walking out, and you know Nacho already went out too. I mean, it's a great show, and the fact that Breaking Bad – I don't know. By the way, I don't know how much success this is having over Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was a lot more popular, you think?
I do. I think it was a lot more popular. But remember, Breaking Bad was a slow build. Right now, seasons 1 through 4 of Better Call Saul are on Netflix, and ultimately season 5 will be on Netflix too. And that's what saved. If you talk to Vince Gilligan or Peter Gould or Tom Schnaz or any of those guys that run the show, they will tell you that Netflix is what made Breaking Bad happen. So ideally, you get buzz now, and people have plenty of time to now go back and watch 5 seasons and get ready for the finale. There's a chance it builds the same way that Breaking Bad does.
Okay, you guys want to do some Better Call Saul trivia?
Live for that, man. Live for it.
Okay. All right, here we go. Funch, any kind of music you're feeling back there?
How about that?
Oh, well, that couldn't get any better than that.
Okay, here we go. Got some gimmies, by the way. So just your name is your buzzer.
Okay. Okay.
What is Jimmy's brother's name?
John.
Mason.
John?
Chuck.
I really thought I was first, but
you were
okay.
Not even close to being first.
I must be on a delay.
Okay. What does Hector Salamanca communicate in a nursing home? Okay.
No, no. If he buzzes in, you can't read the rest of the question.
I know. I had it anyway.
I know you did, but maybe Sliwa was trying to give it to you.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me. 1-1. Here we go. The name of Gustavo's chicken restaurant chain.
Oh, God.
John. Oh, I'm drawing a blank. Los Pollos Hermanos.
Is it Pollos Hermanos or Los? Yeah, Los Pollos.
Yeah,
okay.
Los Pollos Hermanos.
2-1.
Okay, 2-1.
Man, you're great at this whole trivia thing, Alan.
Thank you. Appreciate that. What kind of car does Saul drive?
John.
Go ahead, John.
Boy,
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I can picture it. I'm going to say he drives...
Held together by Bondo, I think.
I know. He drives a Oldsmobile.
Mace, you want to take a shot?
He drives a Ford.
Suzuki. Suzuki Esteem is his car.
Oh, wow.
Neither one of them
okay.
Right.
What TV network does Better Call Saul air on?
Oh.
Not only what did we, you fail, you
did
gave
I
me
ever
the
tell
answer.
You that my legal last name was AMC?
Lindsay, what do we do to that? All right, so Zach.
No, it's Ireland gets it.
Yeah, okay, so you got to give it to John.
He's 3-1. Name.
Okay. Character trying to get out of both gangs, now representing both sides.
Mason? That is Nacho Varga.
3-2.
Okay.
Try and find the right one here. Name of the bank Kim Wexler represents.
Mason. Mesa Verde.
3-3, guys.
Okay,
3-3.
This is it. Game 7.
Name two writers of Better Call Saul.
John.
Mason.
Ahead,
Vince
John.
Gilligan and Peter Gould.
4-3, guys.
Boom!
4-3.
Did he really? I honestly think I get some of these, and I get screwed out of them.
You're out of your mind.
I know how I feel all the time.
Mace, there could be a conspiracy here.
I think it is. Mason's like Shelley Winters. He thinks they called his name to win an award when they completely called
Who are you,
else's
Michael
name.
Thompson referencing Shelley Winters?
You know who Shelley Winters is.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking
she
about
was in the
our
Poseidon
average,
Adventure.
Our average audience member doesn't know what the Poseidon Adventure was. It was like 1973, dude.
Is there a modern person that heard their name called and ran up there?
There was that. Well, remember, there's the one where they screwed up the best picture. La La Land.
Yeah.
Got called up and they didn't win.
That was so funny.
And that was the weirdest thing in the world.
I'm trying to remember who did win.
What's the one, Miss? Who did win for
La La Land?
Moonlight.
Okay.
Who was the one that Steve Harvey called up the Miss?
It was like Miss Universe.
Still a great night.
It was Miss Columbia that got screwed out of it.
And he's like, oh, wait, I'm sorry.
That was amazing. Still a great night. Just a classic line that will go down in history.
Sliwa, I'd like to hang around more, but we're done with you.
Where are you going?
Yep.
I got things to do. I got to get in a jacuzzi and participate in the Kamenetsky show.
Yeah. We are out of here, Sliwa, but still a great night.
All right, fellas. Sounds good.
See you back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp, 7:10 ESPN.